and FM, but...
Actually, the woman that I've been seeing, Samantha, she's an OS.
You can't resist us, Mr. Powers.
Science fiction writers and filmmakers have loved to speculate about what humans and humanoid machines might do together. That is, what will it be like when they have sex or fall in love? Studio 360's Eric Molinsky wondered why we are so enthralled and tortured by the idea of intimacy with a robot.
A couple of years ago, I got really into this show called Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles. Summer Glau played a killer robot from the future, sent back to protect John Connor. And he's a teenager, so he has confused feelings about his protector.
If I'm damaged, we should know. Reach down under the breastplate. There. What does it feel like?
Cold. That's good, right?
That's good. It's perfect.
Now, back when I was watching the show, I just started dating my wife, Serena. And she wanted to play that game where you make a list of celebrities that you're theoretically allowed to sleep with. She got the idea from a Friends episode. So I figured, okay, I mean, this is just a fantasy. I mean, obviously, I'm not giving her permission to sleep with John Hamm. So, first I put Summer Glau on my list. And then I said, actually, I'd kind of like just to put her character on my list. You know, the hot, sexy Terminator from the future.
That's like, weird. I mean...
She was non-amused.
Now that you know that it's about who you find attractive, you now find fictional characters attractive. Meaning, who can... What woman can actually... match
so like essentially
fantasy characters.
I know, it's weird, but it's also a classic trope of science fiction, from the android Maria in Metropolis to Gigolo Joe in Steven Spielberg's AI.
Is this your first time with something like me?
I'm afraid it will hurt.
Patricia, once you've had a lover robot, you'll never want a real man again.
American University professor Despina Kakudaki wrote a book called Anatomy of a Robot. And she says a robot lover is an appealing fantasy for a lot of reasons. It can be perfectly beautiful, ageless, brilliant, and we're fascinated by its body.
It's indestructible. It has replaceable body parts. It's very compartmentalized, as if it is the alternative to the vulnerable, very fleshy, very gooey, very sometimes smelly human body.
An android can take damage that a human being can't. And some social scientists have actually advocated for the creation of robot prostitutes or robot soldiers. But Kakudaki says when we buy into that fantasy, we're lying to ourselves.
Very often we treat objects with quite a lot of fascination and we treat objects really well. And so there's a way in which when people make these facile descriptions about treating someone like an object. If you think about how we treat objects, yes, okay, we might kick our car if it doesn't start, but we also love them in a way that is really quite invested. And in many ways, it is always cheaper to abuse people.
Very true. But I met a playwright who feels differently.
Honey, what language is it speaking? Like Chinese or some kind of Asian-y kind of?
嬉しいです.
Japanese.
On a Saturday night in Midtown Manhattan, these actors were rehearsing a play by Leah Nonica Winkler. It's about a couple that buys a Japanese robot. The play is called, actually I'll let her pronounce it.
Taisetsu na hito, it means important person. Or I wanted to title it that because that's essentially what the robot is there for the couple.
Her play was part of a Sex with Robots festival.
Mine was the only one that kind of went in a way that was like, we hate this robot and we're very unhappy, so we're going to kill it. A lot of the pieces were like, my wife died, so I'm going to create a robot, or I'm horny, so I'm going to get this robot sex. Yeah.
Winkler thinks this is all a healthy fantasy about not feeling shame or being judged in a relationship because your partner is not a person.
You can do all the things that you're embarrassed about communicating to an actual human partner on this robot. I mean, you know, like, I like seeing guys, humans, but, like, if there was a sexual companion guy, I would not be above buying one if I was lonely.
Of course, we are very, very far away from ever building a robot that could actually pass for a human. So what we're left with are human actors pretending to be robots. And that's what I find fascinating. Here's Despina Kakudaki.
My favorite example for that is someone like Commander Data in Star Trek.
Data, you are fully functional, aren't you?
Of course, but...
How fully?
In every way, of course. I am programmed in multiple techniques.
You have this character who is really quite beloved by audiences, who is emotionally not able to feel the certain kinds of emotion or certain kinds of pain. So you can say that that shows a type of lack, or what a pity he's unable to feel that emotion. But the fact that we keep putting him in situations where he might feel that emotion, but actually, happily, he doesn't, it implies a type of investment in not having to feel that emotion ourselves.
Even if some of these robots have programming that allows them to have feelings, they still have this emotional shell that's so much tougher than ours. Because they're not real. And we humans should be proud to be made of softer stuff. For Studio 360, I'm Eric Molinsky.
A longer version of this story first appeared on Eric's podcast, Imaginary Worlds. You can find out more at studio360.org.